Well, that was the Secretary General of the Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, speaking there in Beirut, focusing mainly, obviously, on the Lebanese parliamentary elections that have just ended recently. Before I get to those, his opinion of those elections, I'd like to mention his thoughts on the Iranian situation, the situation post-election Iran. He said that people should not interfere in Iranian election results. And he said that a lot of people are trying to portray Ahmadinejad and Mousavi as the opposing sides of Lebanese alliances, referring to obviously the March 14th versus the March 8th alliance in Lebanon. He says that he asked, you know, the world, where can you see a turnout of 85%? Obviously, that is a very high turnout, a record-breaking turnout in Iran. He said that Iran will overcome this internal problem easily due to the vigilance of the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Onto the parliamentary elections in Lebanon, just before I get to that, I'd just like to remind you of the results of those elections. The 14 March alliance, which is led by Rafiq Hariri, the son of the assassinated Prime Minister, Saad Hariri, is led by Saad Hariri, who is the son of the assassinated Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri, won 71 seats, and the Hezbollah alliance, which includes Hezbollah and the Amal movement, won 30 seats. That's part of a total of 128-seat parliament in Lebanon. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah said that there was obviously a lot of expatriates. We've heard a lot about that. A lot of expatriates were brought in from outside Lebanon to vote in these elections. And the Lebanese Transparency Association, the LTA, has actually launched its preliminary findings for its finance investigation. And it has said that vote buying did occur, according to the LTA. And in some areas, people were paid up to $3,000 to vote in support of the March 14th alliance, and that obviously Mr. Nasrallah also mentioned. He said that the most dangerous issue in Lebanon at the moment is sectarian divisions, and he concentrated on two groups, the Shia and the Armenians. He said the Armenians have been criticized because of their political choices that they have made ever since they've been in Lebanon, and he said that many people are now saying that they are not Lebanese. And he says that those are racist thoughts, considering that there are a lot of people who just became Lebanese 10 years ago and they're still being considered Lebanese, all the Armenians have been in Lebanon for longer, and they should obviously be considered Lebanese. And he said that even when people speak about the Christian alliances, and all, he mentioned the Christians are obviously trying to unite into one alliance, those Christians don't even mention the Armenians. And he said that the Armenians are Orthodox Christians, and that as well is racist, and that their votes must be respected as the votes of any other Lebanese citizen. Onto the Shias, he spoke in depth about the Shias. He said that the incitement during the election campaign was that if the March 8th alliance were to win, Shias would rule the country. And he said, those are just lies, provocations, fabrications. That's not how it works in Lebanon. He said that Shias only want to be partners in Lebanon after years of being neglected. He said that no single faction or religious sect can actually rule Lebanon. It's actually a partnership. It's a coalition rule in Lebanon. He said a lot of people say that the Shia block won votes only because Shias voted for them. And he says that that shows that people think that the Shias don't know how to think, don't discuss politics, they're closed-minded and they only support their own candidates. And he says that is obviously incorrect. He said the Shias in Lebanon are not one political party only, that the Hezbollah does not allege even to represent all Shias in Lebanon. And he said that he emphasized that there is no hegemony of the Hezbollah upon all Shia Lebanese. He said that the media, after the 2006 war with Israel, as you may know, said that Shias were tired of the resistance and saying that the Shia mood had changed. And he said that Israel, through killing women and children in southern Lebanon, wanted to break the vigilance of the Shias of that territory and of all of Lebanon. However, and in a very heated moment, he said that Shias told Barak, Netanyahu, all other Western leaders who were against the March 8th alliance and against Hezbollah's resistance, that the vigilance of the resistance was still strong. And this was shown by their loss of life and their homes, and they were still sticking with the resistance. He said that, he gave an example of this vote buying. He said that even though a Shia was spent around $40 to $50 million dollars, which was given to him by, he did not know exactly who, but he said that most likely another Arab government, which was against the Hezbollah winning, he spent $40 to $50 million U.S. dollars in southern Lebanon in order to get people's support. However, he only won 700 votes, in comparison to the Hezbollah alliance winning around a number of tens of thousands of votes. Now, for an analysis on Sayed Hassan Nasrallah's speech, we're going to go live to Beirut, where our correspondent Ali Rizk is standing by. Ali, if you could, just for the sake of our viewers, explain. Mr. Hassan Nasrallah mentioned Zehle a lot, the area of Zehle in Lebanon. Could you mention exactly what happened there and why he was focusing so much on that, and, of course, an analysis on the rest of his speech as well?
Yep. Concerning Zahle, actually, Zahle was the Christian district. Now, when you want to speak about Lebanon's elections, the elections which were held, the main competitiveness or the very, very tight races were in Christian districts, meaning Sunni Shia districts were actually decided beforehand. So the Christian districts were the ones which were witnessing the most tightest challenges. Zahle, namely, was very important. Actually, a very important issue, where reports which we've heard concerning Zahle, is that many Sunnis actually registered their names before the elections took place so that they could be allowed to vote in Zahle. Now, Sunnis in Lebanon, of course, usually vote, most of them, vote for the March 14 alliance because most of them are aligned with Parliament Majority Leader Saad Hariri. Now, because of fear, this is, of course, according to the information we've heard, because of fear that Zahle was a decisive area and that they'd lose Zahle, what happened was they moved many Sunni voters, they moved their registration to Zahle so that the Sunni voters which actually cast their votes for the March 14 Christian candidates. This is something very important. Now, in Lebanon, the political system is that each electoral list has many different candidates from the respective religious sects, meaning we have a Shia candidate, a Sunni, a Christian, etc., etc. So what is being said is that, for example, let's take the Shia candidate who was in Zahle, the Shia candidate which was with March 14. The Shia candidate in March 14 does not get the votes of the Christians, but we allow him to win by the votes of the Sunnis. As you heard what Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah says, it's not enough for the Shia candidate to get the majority of the Shia votes. He must get the majority of the votes from all different religious constituencies. So when you move the Sunni votes or the Sunni voters to this area, this means you're boosting the possibilities of the March 14 Shia candidate to actually get overcome his opposer, overcome the Shia candidate from the March 8 list. I know this is complicated issues, but just to clarify the situation. So as I said, many voters who were Sunni were moved, their names were moved to Zahle so they could participate in these votes to vote for the March 14 candidates to enable the Shia and the Christian candidates of March 14 to overcome their opposers, Christian and Shia candidates in March 8, so that the March 14 could take majority. Of course, another important issue is that many expatriates came from to this area, a high number of expatriates. Incidentally, when Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah mentions that many of them have lived outside Lebanon for 40 and 50 years, that's something very important. Now, he didn't speak about this, but indirectly what he was trying to mention is that many of these people don't know anything about this struggle with Israel, haven't lived through the hardships of the struggle with Israel, and for that reason, what they hear from the outside, for example, from Western media, let's say, is that Hezbollah is a terrorist organization creating instability, and they go without having any idea of the real situation in Lebanon. Many of these people also participated in the elections in Zahle. So for this reason, I think his focus was on Zahle. Now, on to a general analysis of what happened. I think the most important point came at the end of the speech when he said we must have a response to Netanyahu's speech. Of course, the Israeli Prime Minister had a speech a few days ago, and he spoke about there is no right for Palestinian refugees to return, and Jerusalem, Al-Quds, must be a Jewish capital. Now, here in Lebanon, we have tens of thousands of Palestinian refugees. So the fact that Palestinian refugees are not to be nationalized, according to Netanyahu, affects Lebanon to a high, high extent. Now, what he was saying, what Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah was saying in this way, when he called on the Lebanese to have a response, he's trying to tell the next political elite, the next parliamentary majority, the next government, is that your main agenda, in the next few years must be how to confront the dangers, how to confront Israel. This must be our agenda instead of going into political deliberations or political arguments and trying to, example, dismantle Hezbollah by calling on its telecommunication network to be dismantled. This was an approach which was taken before by the previous government. So I think a clear signal or message to the other party, to March 14, just focus on how we can benefit the country, focus on how we can defend the country against the dangers. And I think this was evident when he said, put the arms of resistance outside political accusations, outside political deliberations. Let's discuss it on the national table of dialogue, but without making it part of a verbal political attacks amongst Lebanese politicians. So these were the main messages. And for the first time, actually, he did speak about irregularities in these elections. He hadn't spoken about them in his speech on Monday directly after the elections. Today he did, and he did mention something which I think was the most important about sectarian incitement. He said this was the worst issue, and I think the reason he highlighted sectarian incitement as being the most dangerous issue was because in Lebanon before we have seen civil wars between Christians and Muslims. It's because when it comes to sectarian feelings in Lebanon, it's very dangerous and could put the country into a lot of chaos. So stressing on this issue was very important to warn everyone else that if we continue in this path of sectarian incitement, this actually could lead to an all-out chaos in the country, which could lead to all-out civil war. So this was very notable when he stressed on maintaining a very acceptable sectarian rhetoric or sectarian speech and abstaining from accusations and sectarian incitement.
Right, Ali, before I let you go, just briefly, I'd like to get your opinion on another thing he said. He said that he's 100% sure that even after these elections, even though the Hezbollah, the whole March 8th Alliance did not win the majority in the Lebanese parliament, that the March 8th Alliance has popular majority amongst the Lebanese people. If you could explain that statement, and just if you could briefly also just analyze his opinion upon the Iranian situation. What do you think about what he said about this being an internal affair for the Iranians to solve themselves?
Well, I'll start with the Iranian part of the question. Now, concerning what he said about Iran, of course, I was meeting with a Hezbollah official even before this speech. Hezbollah does not differentiate between any Iranian parliament presidential candidate. All candidates for the Hezbollah are the same. They consider that any presidential candidate will support Hezbollah. If you notice what he said, he did say some people tried to show the issue as if Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was the March 8 candidate, opposition candidate, and as if Mir Hossein Mousavi was the March 14 candidate. He said this was actually a very silly approach to take, as if one was actually pro-Islamic and one was pro-Western. He criticized such rhetoric. So concerning Hezbollah, Hezbollah does not view Iran as being one person attached to one character or one political figure. Hezbollah views Iran as an Islamic Republic which supports people, which supports resistance movements, whether they be in Lebanon, Palestine, or anywhere else. So as I said, actually the Hezbollah official I spoke to even said that Hezbollah had a very good, unique relationship even when President Khatami was in power. So for this reason, that's Hezbollah's approach. It's not attached to one single political figure in Iran. Now, concerning what you said about the numbers, about the popularity, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah did say actually previously that the opposition would conduct surveys after the parliamentary election results. It would conduct surveys about who is the popular majority. Now, I believe these surveys have been conducted. In addition, if you notice, he mentioned numbers about this candidate got that much, other candidate got that much. Now, because of Lebanon's electoral law, you can actually get a high number of votes without actually getting parliamentary majority. It's maybe you could compare that to the American elections, for example, when a candidate could get all the popular votes, but at the same time lose the election, similar to what happened between Bush and Al Gore. That's the situation in Lebanon. I think that's what he meant when he said that we still have a popular majority in spite of the fact that they have the parliamentary majority.
Right, now I'm told that we do have some more time left with you. So I'd like to ask you about this this Lebanese Transparency Association that has said that vote buying did occur. It has confirmed that. I mean, it's confirming what Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah also said. What is being done right now in Lebanon because of this vote buying, I mean, is there any response that the government is taking? Is there any association which is government related that is carrying out an investigation into those allegations?
Well, that's a very interesting question. The government now is going to, we're going to have a new government being formed now. After the 20th of this month, the deliberations on forming a new government will begin, meaning this current government will become an interim government. But whether it be this interim government or the next government which comes, the issue is that the March 14 movement will, of course, probably have most of the members of this government. Now, those who are being accused of buying votes are actually the March 14 themselves. So the question is, will March 14 open a file against itself? The accusations of vote buying are against March 14. A pro-March 14 government, it's very difficult from my view, seeing a pro-March 14 government actually opening these doors of accusation to itself and launching an investigation into accusations which have targeted March 14. So for this reason, I think it's highly unlikely that any government, due to the fact that March 14 will have parliamentary majority, it's unlikely that any government would actually open such an investigation. But as you heard, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah said they'll continue with this process in Zahle, investigate. How much can be achieved? That's what remains to be seen. Because when you're not in a government, when you don't have that much influence in a government, it's very difficult to achieve a lot. But on the other hand, we have to see, will there be institutions, will there be associations, for example,
all right, put Ali, together between I will have to Hezbollah cut you off there, the movement. Ali Rizq, our correspondent there in Beirut, analyzing Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah's speech for us. We will be back in about 4 minutes' time with the world news in full here at Press TV. But that concludes our live coverage of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah's speech. Thank you for joining us.